Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. To find out more about the endowment, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. My special guest tonight is Jack Kelly, Director of the National Weather Service. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening.
Well, in this first segment, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the National Weather Service. I understand it dates back to 1870, which tells us that the weather's been on people's mind for quite some time. Could you tell us more about the National Weather Service and its mission?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. The National Weather Service has been around since 1870, and if you kind of trace the history of it and how we've moved from government department to government department, you get an idea of how, while our mission hasn't fundamentally changed, how interest has. We started off in the Army, in the War Department, in 1870, and the reason we were in the War Department was at that point they wanted us to collect observations about what was happening around the country in with the weather. And the view was that to do that required a very disciplined approach, and a logical place was the War Department. Well, we spent 20 years in the War Department and then went into the Department of Agriculture because of the impact of weather on agriculture, and stayed there till the early 40s when we moved to the Department of Commerce. And we moved to the Department of Commerce because the view was weather impacts U.S. competitive advantage. And it was better in the Department of Commerce. Now what we really do is we do two things. We issue forecasts and warnings. Warnings for those extreme weather events that impact this country. And we are, from a continent point of view, the continent that is most prone to have severe or extreme weather. We average in this country over 1,000 tornadoes a year, thousands of floods, tens of thousands of severe thunderstorms. In the last 10 years, 90% of all the presidential declared disaster declarations are in fact weather related. So the warning business that we do is very important. We also provide forecasts for the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, so they can safely and efficiently operate the national airspace system. And then we provide generic forecasts for the citizens of the country. In addition, a not well understood part of our mission is we operate the observation network. We operate 120 weather radars. We get data from weather satellites. We operate 1,000 automated surface observing stations. We run computer simulations of what the atmosphere is going to do. And we make all that information available to the private weather sector and to the broadcasters that you see on TV. So, while we're a small agency, about 5,000 people, we really do touch the fabric of the American citizen.
Now, you have 33 years of experience in the weather, both in the public and private sector. Can you tell us about the various positions you've held in your career?
Well, I spent most of my life in the United States Air Force, spent 31 years in the Air Force. I did, as most Air Force officers do, did a number of different jobs. Most of them were in the weather business, but I did do some work with information technology, automation. Got the fortunate opportunity to lead a number of organizations. I retired from the Air Force, went to work for the private sector for a few years, running a weather business. And then came to work for the government when the Secretary of Commerce asked me to apply for the Director of the Weather Service job.
What are the differences in culture you've described? A military culture, a private sector, civilian culture, and now the federal government?
Talk about the military and the civil government cultures. There's a tremendous similarity between the military culture and the culture of the average employee in the National Weather Service. In the military, the culture is a service over self. You see that in the National Weather Service. Also, when there's bad weather that's expected to hit an area, the average Weather Service employee comes to work early that day. We've had Weather Service employees spend nights in forecast offices because they've been cut off by floods, or the highways have been covered with snow. So the service ethic is very, very similar between both of them. Love of what they do. The forecasters and the hydrologists in the National Weather Service, those in the forecast offices, love what they do. They love trying to forecast what Mother Nature is going to do for us. You see that in the you see that in the military. Differences. The military tends to move faster than the civilian world does. Also, in the military, when you tell people to do things, they do it. Particularly in the business setting, that was a big adjustment I had to make. When you tell someone to go do something, you had to work to get consensus. A simple order doesn't get things done. So there are some differences, but there are a lot of similarities.
In terms of the private sector, were there any other differences in the management style between, say, the private sector and the public sector?
Well, certainly in the private sector, one focuses on generating profit. One goes after business development. One is, when you're doing a job, you're thinking about where's the next job going to come from. I saw a difference here. The bottom line is very, very important in the private sector. Both in the military and in the government, you tend to be thinking of what's best for the citizen of the country. You certainly do worry or concern yourself about, are you making the best use of the stuff you have? Are you operating the most efficiently and effectively you can? But you're not trying to generate a profit. That is a big difference.
And how do you think the military prepared you for both of these different jobs?
The military, when you start off as an officer, as a second lieutenant in the military, and you concentrate on honing your leadership skills. And that's the job I'm in now. I'm in a leadership job. I should say there is another difference, I think, between the civilian world and the military world. An awful lot of the civilian world talks about managers. The military doesn't talk much about managers. It talks about leaders. I'm in a leadership position. I'm the one who's supposed to work together with my employees, but set the vision, get them the resources, get them the tools, and then help them to achieve that vision. So the military, through the professional military education, through the jobs they put me in, the command jobs, allowed me to develop my leadership skills, and I think really prepared me for the job I'm currently in.
When you were a senior advisor to the Department of Commerce, you conducted a bottom-up review of the National Weather Service, and then you became the director and were charged to implement some of those recommendations. Did you ever think you'd actually get to work on the project that you helped create?
No, and I think it's kind of it's a unique experience for Washington. This is a city where whenever there is a problem, the solution is you bring in an outside team to do a study. The team writes a report, hands the report to the secretary. Everyone smiles, and you implement some of the recommendations. But the team that put the report together rarely is in the position of implementing the recommendations in the report. Well, I did that. I did a study. I did a study because in 1997 there was some question about the resources that were required to operate the National Weather Service, and the Secretary of Commerce and the NOAA Administrator, NOAA National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Administrator, asked me to do a study to determine what resources were required. When I was doing that study, I discovered that there were some management challenges in the Weather Service which helped contribute to the questions that were being asked about the resources that were needed. And so now I get to implement the recommendations that we put together. I'm discovering it's more difficult to implement them than it is to write them.
What were some of the management challenges you discovered?
I think that the National Weather Service was not unlike many other government organizations in terms of it had tended to try to centralize control and authority over the organization, and in the course of doing that, it had really not empowered the employees. It tended to be top down as opposed to bottom up, and we've the past couple of years been trying to change that that structure. We've also attempted to focus more on measures, financial, technical measures, and introduce the concept of accountability.
Well, great. And it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.